You better bow, boy. Before your betters, if not your elders, bless God. Amen. What a delight it's been. This will be my last time to preach, and all God's children said. And I've been so blessed and so encouraged to hear my precious brothers preach. And true men of God, real men of God, they're the genuine article, flat out. That's just the truth of it. And I've been encouraged and blessed, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow night, and I hope you're ready to come. Now make sure you let us know if you've brought some visitors. I think I got the most visitors tonight. So I'm keeping my stinking CDs. Amen. I tell you what, I've got a bunch of folks here tonight. I'm just so blessed and so thankful. We've got folks from Ionia, folks from Kalamazoo, folks from Galesburg and Vicksburg and prison and all that stuff. And so I'm glad to see Mrs. Boomershine back here. She's a precious lady. And just about a year ago, right? Dad Boomer, 2 years, 3 years? Are you kidding me? 3 years ago, that precious old man of God went to heaven. And he was a precious man. Brother Boomershine was a great man. Great family. Great family. Loved the Lord. Involved in local churches all over this country. And wonderful. 37 grandkids, like 150 great grandkids. I don't know how many, but it's just they're a mess, man. That's a messed up family, folks. I'm telling you right now. But I love them very much. They're precious friends. And of course, the Millers from Ionia, I love them. And their little daughter, Olivia, she's a precious little girl. They're saved in our ministry. And started serving the Lord in our ministry up there. And thank God. Them folks from Kalamazoo, I just love you guys, man. I love you and thank the Lord for you. Temple Baptist Church got a brand new pastor and they're just jacked up for God, man. They are ready to go. Ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. Amen? And amen. So praise the Lord. John 14 in your Bibles, please. John 14. And we'll certainly look in the Word of God tonight and see what the Lord has for us. And I was really praying much today about what the Lord had had me to preach. These guys have preached everything there ever was and ever will be. And so I'm kind of left with some scraps here, but it's all right. The Bible scraps are pretty good. Amen. And I love John 14. And I want to preach to you tonight. I hope and pray it'll be an encouragement to your heart. We preached some heavy things and some hard things and some challenging things and things that are needed. But I believe one of the things that really, really will preempt revival and will be something that leads a person to revival is the fact and the remembrance that Jesus is coming again. Yeah. He's coming soon. I believe that's something that needs to be often preached in Baptist church pulpits. And frankly, it's not done very much. I know that's certainly not here, but there's a lot of Baptist churches tonight that aren't preaching about the Lord's coming. I want to remind you, beloved, the Bible says, and every man that hath this hope in him, the hope of Christ's return, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. You'll be a pure Christian. You'll be a righteous servant of God. You'll do what you're supposed to do when you remember that at any minute you could be caught up out of here and go home to be with the Lord. I can remember as a boy growing up, and our sister's here, and I'm the oldest, and then it's Lisa, and then it's Eric, and then it's Russell, and then it's Althea, and then it's Patricia, and I'm thanking the Lord for my family so very much. But I can remember growing up as kids that there was a time that my mom and dad would go out of the house, and they would leave us alone for a couple hours, and man, that was not a pleasant thing sometimes. I mean, it was for me because I was left in charge, bless God. And I broke out the whip and the club and the fire. It was grand and glorious. All the elder children in the room said, amen. And so, they'd go away. But one thing they said before they left, we're coming back. We're coming back. We didn't know exactly when they were coming back, but we knew, bless God, they were coming back. And every once in a while, Eric, because he's a deceitful kind of person, he'd be standing at the doorway watching while the rest of us are terrorizing the neighborhood. And after a little bit, he'd say, "Here they come!" And all of a sudden, man, it was too late to do anything. It was too late to do anything about fixing what we'd done. Man, the house was a disaster. There's blood splattered on the walls. Somebody'd been eviscerated, guts laying out there. The cat's dead. I mean, man, well, cats ought to die, but the cats would... I mean, man, it was a disaster. And Mom and Dad would walk into the house and say, "Dad, get up here! Eric!" And he started... It was awful. They used to tape us sometimes. They would tape us. They put a cassette tape player. I couldn't understand how mom, when she get home, I was always blaming it on Lisa because she was such a big rat all the time, ratting everybody else. I thought she was ratting us out, but she was getting busted too. So I'm trying to figure out, how does mother know that we're doing this to each other? Beating on each other and screaming and hollering, and Eric was cussing, and I mean, it was just, how does she know this? How does she know? And sure enough, one day under the couch was a little tiny cassette recorder. And there it was, both buttons pushed down, amen? And she was recording. So we whoop and recorded a beautiful, wonderful, glorious, you know, we're so happy. Everybody's doing just fine. We're not hurting anybody. Is everything all right? There we go. Going just fine, and mother would walk in and she'd still be honest because she knew that we're liars. Amen. We're living in a messed up world. Messed up. This Ebola business and the stuff that's going on in Washington, that business is taking place down there in Houston. We preachers have been telling you that it's not going to be very far, and very far stretch, that they're going to come and put us, some of us, in prison. And I'm telling you, beloved, if you think that's a joke down there, it is not. And if you think for one second that we're going to wave the Constitution and say, freedom of speech, freedom of speech, we've been doing that for years and they're still arresting us. And if you think for one second that Constitution is going to stop the judiciary and the legislative arms and the executive branch of this nation from just pouring out wretchedness upon the people of God, you got another thing coming, friend. I don't believe that the Church of Jesus Christ, the sons of God, the children of God, the bride of Christ, is going to go through one second of the tribulation. If you believe that, you're all wet. The Bible very clearly teaches that before the tribulation period, Jesus will come back and receive unto Himself that wonderful people of God that He called out of His own, by His own glory, by the blood of Christ. If you believe that Jesus is coming after the tribulation or in the middle of the tribulation, you don't know your Bible. And you need to find somebody to help you with that. You need to quit listening to them clowns on television and those knotheads on the radio and quit reading books that aren't Bible books and get a hold of a Bible or talk to your preacher that knows a little bit about the business of the end times. While I do not believe that the church will go through the tribulation, I do in fact believe that we're going to see some tribulation. Don't you dare think for a minute, beloved, that we're going to float on our flowery beds of ease while our beloved brothers and sisters of years gone by sailed through bloody seas. We've got it coming. It's on its way. And I know I'm looking for Jesus to come, man. I am at any minute. But, beloved, some things are happening in this nation that we're not going to be able to stop. And the only thing that can stop, you say, well, wait, but Pastor Russ preached about hope. Man, I'm going to talk to you about some hope here in a minute. I'm going to talk to you about, man, this will jazz you up. This will put gas in your tank. This will make you want to charge hell with a squirt gun. This will give you some glory and some strength and some chutzpah and some guts to get out and do something for God before it's over. I'm telling you, it's almost over tonight. It's almost done. I don't know if we're going to have tomorrow. I don't know if you're going to have tomorrow to come back to this church and hear more preaching. I'm telling you, tonight Jesus could come. Or tomorrow morning Jesus could come. And He's coming, ready or not. It's time to stop getting ready and be ready right now. Quit getting ready and be ready. Jesus said in John 14, He was talking to His disciples. He said, they're going to kill me on a cross. Romans are going to take me by ungodly hands. This is going to happen, and it's going to happen because I love you, and they're going to take me away. And He looked at their disconcerted faces, like I told you the other night, and He said, look at it in the Bible. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I love that. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I love you, Father. Oh, Lord Jesus, what a Savior you are. And I love you, Holy Spirit. You've already been here in such great power and demonstration of magnificence and glory and holiness. Your Word's been preached with such authority that just this moment ago, and My precious brother got up and talked to us about the temple of God that we are. And oh, God, help us to realize how important that is and to clean ourselves up tonight. So many times, Lord, we think about ourselves being a trophy of God's grace, but the Bible says that we're your inheritance. And because of that, Lord, we're not a trophy. We're the trophy case. You're the trophy. You're the trophy. You're the magnificent one. You're the holy one. And I'm just a trophy case. And so, Lord, help me to be clean as I display the trophy, the Son of God, in my life. Help me to realize how important it is. So vital. Help us tonight in Jesus' name. You know, I think about what the greatest thing in the world that could happen to the world. You know, we think of world peace and we think of the no bloody battlefields. Did you know that in recorded history, there's only been just a couple of hundred years in the history of mankind, in recorded history, there's only been a couple of hundred years, and I don't even think it was really that much, but the guys that I've read about, they said it's only been a couple of hundred years of relative peace, the absence of conflict. Man, wouldn't it be wonderful if we didn't spend anything on a war machine or defense? Can I get an amen? Wouldn't it be wonderful if there wasn't war in the world? That'd be wonderful, but it wouldn't be the best thing. I mean, if we could help people with their physical needs and be better than social agencies and do something that could eradicate poverty and take away hunger and give good houses and food and clothing. And I'm not talking about socialism and I'm not talking about communism. Let me tell you something. The reason that the government has taken that over is because, number one, families haven't been doing right by their loved ones. And that's a good place to say amen. Families haven't done right, and we've abdicated ourselves to the government, and we've abdicated ourselves to social causes, and we've abdicated to ourselves, and while I'm ready to help anybody that needs it, we've abdicated our responsibilities to the church even. I'm saying to you, beloved, that'd be a great thing if there was no poverty and no more social woes. It'd be wonderful, but it wouldn't be the greatest thing. What if we could cure cancer? What if we could eradicate heart disease? What if we could take away diabetes and a man could have a stinking donut once in a while? Say amen right there. A donut. A man needs a donut to make him a man. Bless God when you drive by the Krispy Kreme and the light's on where it's hot, and now that's God saying, yes, you can have a donut. Sorry, Lord, I didn't mean that. Those would be great things, but they wouldn't be the greatest thing. How about doing away with the race question? Man, I'm not a racist, but everybody has prejudice. Everybody does. Don't sit there and bless God, sanctimonious face you have. You know, you're a prejudiced person. Everybody is. But you hadn't ought to be racist. Amen? You know what? You're going to be a little bit surprised maybe if you think only white Anglo-Saxons get to go to heaven. You're going to be a little bit surprised when you get to glory and find out Jesus is just a bit darker shade than you are. Being a Jew as he is. You're welcome. It'd be glorious. It'd be great and wonderful, wouldn't it, if those clowns Rainbow Coalition and Push and the Reverend Jackson, it'd be great if they didn't flap us upside the head with a race card all the time. Say amen. It'd be great if there wasn't anything such as a Klan and all that hoo-ha. Say amen. But I'll tell you what the best thing that would happen to this world, and you know what I'm getting at, don't you? It would be wonderful if Jesus would come back. If He could just come back tonight. I know you will have loved ones that need to be saved, and so do I. I've got loved ones that I want to be saved, and there's people in my town that are lost. But I'm going to tell you something, beloved. They have the Bible. They have Moses and the prophets. If they're not saved by now, they have no excuse when they stand before God. And even so, beloved, if people go to hell and you've not talked to them about Jesus Christ, you're going to be held with bloody hands on that day. That's why this message and this truth needs to be constantly, a drum needs to be banged and a bell needs to be rung. We need to remind people that Jesus is coming. It'd solve every problem in the world. It'd fix and straighten out everything. I'm telling you, beloved, Jesus would and will give a brand new era of peace and plenty and prosperity after the 7 years of tribulation, I'm telling you, it's going to be a grand day when Jesus comes again. When He comes and gets us out of here. And we go to that land of fadeless day where there's no more cemeteries and no more funerals and no hospitals. I'm telling you, it's going to be a great, great day when Jesus comes. And I'm telling you, some people in this room tonight, you've lived a whole day and you've not thought one time about your Savior coming. Not once. You've gone through this whole day without thinking that Jesus might come today. Marvelous message I bring. Glorious carol I sing. Wonderful words of the King. Jesus is coming again. I'm telling you, friend, there's proof in the Word of God about this. I'm talking about proof from the perfect book. I'm not talking about a book by Jack Van Impe. I don't care what Jack Van Impe says. Or his wife. Say amen. I don't care what that dude out in Washington, Mark Bills or Blitz or whatever his name says. I don't care what that guy says. He's a heretic after the third and fourth admonition. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't care what that dude down in Texas says. I don't care what any of them says. I'm telling you, the Bible says Jesus is coming again. And I want to believe the Bible. If you're going to be a Bible believer, you've got to believe that Jesus is coming back. I'm telling you, the Old Testament is absolutely filled with the truth of this fact, and the fact of this truth. See, there's two lines of prophecy concerning Jesus coming into this world. The first, of course, is in the Word of God, tells us of as Christ coming as a suffering Savior. Isaiah, the wonderful man of God, that great major prophet, said in Isaiah 53 that He was wounded for our transgressions and He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed, and hallelujah. And oh, there's wonderful, great, and glorious passages that tell us about our Savior coming as that wounded and bloody Savior. Oh, in Gethsemane, as you know, if you haven't read about it lately, you need to be reminded regularly and about the story of Jesus, how in Gethsemane, oh, our Savior sweat, as it were, great drops of blood and agony and pain, not over the fact that He was going to die, not over the fact that He was going to pay for sin, but that He would be made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I'm telling you, He gave His back to the smiters. Oh, and great bloody welts flowed, and blood flowed from out of Him as He was smacked and punched and spit upon and His beard pulled out. I want you to know, beloved, He did that for me and you as a prophet, as a fulfillment of the prophecy of God that Jesus Christ would come one day and crush the serpent's head. Man, what a grand day when Jesus came the first time. I want you to see Him tonight as He willingly lays Himself out naked upon that cross. And remind yourself of the nails. Remind yourself of the mocking. Remind yourself of His nakedness and shame and the sin that was poured out upon Him. Not the sin of Rich Savosky, not the sin of Eric Tharp, but your sin and my sin. You make it personal. The Jews didn't kill Him. The Romans didn't kill Him. You killed Him. You killed Him. As surely as you could have picked up that spike and drove it into His hands. As surely as if you'd have taken that spear and pushed it into His precious side. You were the same as those Roman soldiers that buffeted Him with their fists. I tell you, beloved, listen to me. As He was robed there in His own blood, and the God of heaven, the Bible tells us He turned His back on His only begotten Son because He was Darren Tharp on that cross. Made sin. See Him, beloved, as His precious, perfect, sinless blood seeped out of His wounds, and the life began to ebb away from Him. I'm talking about somebody, preacher, that tenderly made spit in the ground and put it on a person's eyes to heal them. That's who I'm talking about tonight. You have forgotten, maybe that's who we're talking about, that what they did to Him. That tenderly picked up an old crippled person and gave them their able ability to walk again, and called the Lazarus at that graveside, because he had to say Lazarus. He had to say, just said, get up. The whole grave would have got up, because death can't stay where the King of Life is. Amen. I'm telling you, that's Jesus all this happened to. God's holy Son. And I want to remind you, beloved, of the excruciating pain that He was made to succumb to, all because of me and you. That's the first line of prophecy in the Old Testament about Jesus coming. And He came once to die for all. Take that, Calvinist. Once for all. Once for all. Once for everybody. Everybody. I'm talking about everybody. Well, I talk a lot about the elect. Yeah, the elect is God's voted for me, the devil voted against me, and I cast a deciding vote. I got elected to be saved. That's how you get elected to be born again. Say amen right there. Jesus came to die for all. But you know, the second line tells us that He's coming again, not as a suffering Savior this time, but King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I tell you, beloved, He's not going to die again. I want you to see Him tonight as well as a mighty conqueror, majestic in His power and in His glory. You know, I said, as you know in the Scripture, the first time He came to suffer and die for our sins. But beloved, when He comes the second time, it'll be as the great God of heaven and earth. The Bible says He came unto His own, but His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Why didn't the Jews receive Him back then? I'll tell you why, beloved. It's a very simple understanding. It's just to read your Bible and you know they were looking for a Messiah. The Jews were looking for their Messiah. They sang songs about Him. They danced about Him. They longed for Him. They prayed for the Messiah to come. Why in the world then didn't they receive Him when He came? The reason they didn't receive Him is because they could only see one line of prophecy. They could only recognize that they wanted a king. They wanted a Lord. They wanted to be freed from the Roman emperor and set up the kingdom and return to the glory days of David's magnificent kingdom. And so when this matchless Son of God, Jesus the Nazarene, that can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Not to them, not to their economy. No, when Jesus the Son of God came and He came in the likeness of human flesh, and he ate like us, and He lived like us, and He was us, and in fact, He was so much like us that the Scripture says if you looked at Him, there'd be nothing to be desired of Him. Nothing. If He walked by you, you wouldn't know Him. Yes. I'm saying to you tonight, friend, they only accepted the first line, one line of prophecy, that second line. And so when He did come to the poorest of the poor and the humblest of the humble, they didn't recognize Him. They didn't know who He was. Therefore, they couldn't receive Him. And so today, in 2014, as we stand on this side of that old cross, we look for Him to come, not as a suffering Savior anymore, but we look for Him to come as King of Kings. I tell you, we look for Him to come as what Titus talks about over there in chapter number 1, about the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You want New Testament proof that Jesus is coming again? Well, I'm telling you, the Bible fairly pours out of it every page the fact that He's coming. 318 times. Just in your New Testament, we find references to the Lord Jesus coming. That's about one in every 25 verses. Why can't these modernistic, Bible-less preachers see it today? You ask some preachers what they think about the fact that Jesus could come at any minute. They don't believe it. They don't preach about it. They probably need to be born again themselves. I'm telling you, friend, it matters not today whether you believe it, whether you receive it, whether you're pre-trib, whatever trib, whatever you want to be. It doesn't matter. Bless God, I'm going to kill this thing before it's over with. I'm going to hook it on my nose and see what happens. It doesn't matter what you call yourself or what you think you are. The Bible tells us that Jesus is coming soon. You better, if you're going to be a Bible believer, you better be a Bible person about this truth. Jesus is coming again. He promised He would. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I think about the two phases of His coming. Boy, you know, my brother was up here talking about the millennium, and man, I think about that, and I can't wait, man. I can't wait because, you know, I won't be a sinner anymore. Yeah. Amen? I won't be a sinner anymore. Neither will you if you go to heaven, if you're going with us. But everybody else that sins, man, you flip out a gum wrapper, rod of iron. You say something bad, oh yeah, you don't like it, tough, rod of iron. Amen? He's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. Say amen. You do immediate justice and judgment. You just, bless God, we won't have to sin anymore. But everybody else that got saved out of the tribulation and made it through, and people that got born again, that those wonderful Jewish evangelists saw saved, I'm telling you, it's going to be a pretty rough time for them, I'll tell you that much. I'm glad I get saved right now, say amen, in the age of grace. Oh, but he's going to come in the air, the Bible tells us. Oh, what a grand and glorious day. At that time, as my brother so rightly said, he'll not touch earth, but he'll come in the air, the Bible says, for a special purpose. There's very plain teaching on that in 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 4. Please, just for a moment, let me read it to you. The Scripture says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." These people are all messed up in their doctrine about the fact that Jesus is coming. Some false teacher had come to them, and they started listening, and they started believing. They weren't listening to their pastor. They weren't listening to the right things. They were paying attention to the internet or to some radio program, if there was such a thing back then. They weren't paying attention, so they were being deceived. So Paul wrote a letter to the Thessalonican church to tell them what had happened to their loved ones. He said, "I don't want you to be ignorant. Understand, beloved," he says, "concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord," say amen, "that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." I'm telling you, that's what the Bible says. Can it be any plainer than that? Even a blockhead from Missouri can figure that out. Say amen. I'm telling you, he's coming for his own. You notice the words choices of the Holy Ghost of God. The Lord himself. The Lord himself. Not another. Not an angel. Not even God. The Father. Not the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about Jesus himself. Listen to me, church. You don't have to be ignorant about these things. And I'm not calling you stupid. I'm calling you ignorant if you don't read your Bible. I know that might sound unkind to you. I love you. I'm a pastor. I love God's people. But if you don't seek you out a book of the Lord and read, you'll be ignorant. Plain and simple. Oh, he'll come in the air. And those of us that are saved are going to go up to meet him. And I'm telling you, beloved, I long for that day. I stood beside a grave today in Ionia, Michigan. And there's just a little tiny marker there. And all it says on there is Simeon Tharp, April 6th, 2010. And it has two little crosses there. My little grandson, he never breathed human air. He had never breathed earthly air. God let him be born and he died right at that moment. And God took him into heaven. I'm glad to report he never had to be a sinner. Amen? He was conceived in sin and all that kind of stuff. But he never experienced sin. He never experienced the sorrow of this earth. He fell asleep and worked up into glory. And one of these days, hallelujah, when I get up out of here and I go home to be with God, I'm going to walk into heaven. And friend, one of the first people I'm going to see is a big strapping Irish boy by the name of Simeon. And he's going to walk up to me and say, "Hey, Papa, I've been waiting on you, buddy. Come on, let me show you around. I'll show you where the Krispy Kreme tree is." You think I'm crazy. I might be. I might be a crazy nut kind of person. But I'll tell you something, friend. Don't wake me up, because I'm having a pretty good time hanging on to this stuff. I tell you, I'm waiting on the shout. I'm waiting on the voice of the archangel. I'm waiting on that come up hither business. I'm waiting on the trump of God. I'm waiting on that fact, beloved, when Jesus is going to step out on the doorpost of glory and God's going to tell him, "Son, go ahead and get your children. The midnight cry is taking place." God's going to say, "Go get your bride, son. They're ready. They're prepared. They're not perfect, but you're going to make them perfect. You bring them on up here, and it'll all be all right. And friend, we'll have us a marriage supper like you and I have never been to. I've never been a bride before, but I am one now. Hallelujah. What a grand day when we finally get home. When we finally get home." You say, "I don't believe it." Lots of people don't believe it. You might be sitting in here right now and you don't believe it. Well, I want you to know what our Savior said in Matthew 24. He said, "In such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." Oh, you better believe it or not, friend. Jesus is coming. The world's conditions show it. The wars, the bloodshed, the pestilence, the violence, the perversion, the wretchedness and the filth and the sin of every sickening type. Who's going to fix it all? Is President Barack Obama going to fix it? He can't fix the White House. He can't fix the Congress. He can't fix anything. He's a sinner like me and you that needs to be born again. Say amen. The president can't fix it. The Supreme Court can't fix it. Who are we going to call? Superman? No, I think we'll call the supernatural man. Yes. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ one day, I don't see how this world can last much longer, Pastor Rich. I'm just telling you. You say, they've been saying that for years. Listen to me. Look at me and pay attention. There has never been a day like today. Except the days just before Noah's flood. There's never been a day like today. Never. I'm telling you, some of you old grayheads sitting out there, you've never seen it as bad as it's been. Ever. And I'm telling you, before Jesus comes, it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. I don't care what happens November 3rd and 4th, whatever, the election day. I don't care what happens on that day. It's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. I believe in the hope that my brother talked about. There's hope. Hope thou in God, the Bible says. Amen. I'm not hoping in my government. I don't trust my government. I don't care for my government. I love America. I'm a flag-waving patriot as good as anybody in this room. But I don't trust my government. I trust my God. I trust Him. I trust my Savior. And shortly, He's going to get me out of here. Woo! I'm telling you, man, what a day. Oh, I tell you, I don't see much hope in this world. But Jesus is going to come back to this world. First, He's going to take His children out of here, the living and the dead. And we're going to take us back into heaven. Hallelujah, right? Say amen. And oh, yes, there's going to be a small matter of something we need to be reminded of constantly. The matter of the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where Jesus, the Son of God, will judge all believers. Thank God we'll never pay for one sin. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Say amen. I'm telling you, thank God. But oh, on that day we'll be issued our rewards or the lack thereof. I can't wait to see you get yours. As a pastor, I tell that to my people, Pastor Rich. I know you feel the same way. I can't wait to see my people get the rewards that God is going to give them. I tell you, I can't wait. Let me tell you something. Preachers in this room, if you're a preacher, full-time pastor, preacher, would you stand for a minute? Please, preacher brethren, stand up. Brother Mitchell, yes, sir. Preacher brethren. Missionary, preacher. Look at these guys. Now, let me tell you something. Church, look at me. They are on your side. Yeah. They love you. When they preach hard stuff to you, it's to help you to cinch up a little bit. Amen. It's to help you recognize there's a judgment coming. We love you. We love God's sheep. We're not against you. Do you think for any... this isn't His home. It is now. He lives here by the grace of God. You didn't hire Him to be your preacher. God called Him here. Say amen. 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 But He's here to be your helper, to help you to be right with God, to help you to know the good and the right way. You got this little fella right here. So cute. Well, you could probably pick him up, throw him around like a rag doll, but he loves God and he's a servant of the Most High. Amen. Sit down, fellas. Thank you. These are men of God that love you. And you know what we're going to do when the judgment seat comes? All of the preachers are going to be sitting over in the grandstands. We're all going to have football helmets on. Because we've been spending the last eon of time bouncing around in our rubber room because we're not pastors anymore. Hallelujah. No more church problems. No more difficulties. No more death. No more crying. No more sorrow. No more funerals. Woohoo! No more budgets. Huh?
No more weddings.
No more weddings. That's even worse than a funeral. So we'll all be sitting over there in our football helmets. And they're going to call your name. And you'll be a person from Loomis Park Baptist Church. Who's going to be coming up that... And you say, well, how long will that take? It don't matter. No more time there.
Right.
Don't matter. At least 7 years is going to take. I think the exact first thing right after the rapture is the judgment seat. So for 7 years, while God's judging this mess down here, He's going to judge us. Jesus will do it. Your name will be called. And the Bible says that you are to obey them that have the rule over you as they that must watch for your soul, as they that watch for your souls. That they may, that because they're going to give account for you, and you want them to do it with joy and not with grief. And here's why. Because it's unprofitable, not for Him, for you. So you'll come marching up to Jesus. No slick lawyers there, sweetheart. Nope. Nobody's going to plead your case. You're not going to say, well, the sun was in my eyes. Or the hole was in my glove. I just couldn't do it anymore. I just felt bad. And I had a toenail and a bunion. None of that.
Right.
You're going to stand before the King of Kings. And He's not going to ask you what you did, because that doesn't matter. It's not about what. It's about what sort it is. Why? The motive behind it. And you know, you'll be judged. And I thank God. I think for the most part, God's people love Him. I believe that. For the most part, I think God's people want to serve Him. And the Scripture says that we're going to get crowns. Amen? Crowns. There's only one pastor crown. There's a martyr crown. You don't want that business. But there's a crown of faithfulness. There's a soul winner's crown. These crowns that we're going to be getting. And the Scripture says you're going to get your rewards. And I'm going to tell you right now, without equivocation, I've been a pastor for a lot of years. Without equivocation, I'm going to tell you, the one that's going to be shouting the loudest and going to having the biggest banana case fit, that man right there. Because he's on your side. He preached to you. He loved you. He cared for you. He prayed for you. He rebuked you. He admonished you. He encouraged you. Rebuke, reprove, rebuke, exhort. That's what his job is. Two of those are negative. One's positive. Only two are negative. One's positive, right? Say amen. And while you're getting your rewards, there's a much slimmer, hairless, beardless, right? Of course, maybe we'll all have beards up there. I mean, no. No self-respecting Irishman. Amen. But anyway, he's going to be shouting it out. And when people from my church, I'll be shouting it out. And you know what? I'll be shouting it out with you because I love you too. Pastor Russ, we love you too. Brother Mitchell, we love you people. We care about you. We're God's men. You see, well, I don't know, is all this really going to happen? Why don't you read your Bible and find out, amen? I'm just telling you, friend, the judgment seat's coming. I'm going to, Dr. Malone used to say, knock out a couple of train cars and hook up the caboose. I'll do that right now. What takes place in heaven, beloved? While what takes place in heaven, the judgment seat, there's something on earth called the tribulation. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. No Christians are going to be there. Glory to God. We'll be raptured out of here. But dear lost soul, hear me. Hear me. You'll be left behind if you're not saved. I can remember when I wasn't saved, when I didn't know if I was saved, I can remember wondering, what if Jesus comes and my family gets gone and I'm left? I tell you, friend, I just as surely as I'm standing here because of the Bible principle of one should be taken and the other left, there's people that are in churches tonight or whatever, during the week or whatever, that are going to come down to the church house after Jesus comes looking for us. Where we're going to be gone. And it breaks my heart for you because it doesn't have to be that way. Let's get saved. If you're here tonight and you're worried about Jesus coming, there's a reason for that. Get it right with God tonight. How do you prepare? You prepare by being saved. I'm glad to tell you, friend, Jesus freely offered Himself for you. I'm thanking God today that Jesus paid the price for us to be born again. Say amen. Amen. So the Bible says that between heaven and hell, there's a great gulf fixed. And there's no passing from heaven to hell and no passing from hell to heaven. I'm telling you, friend, what happens after you die or after Jesus comes sets your eternity for eternity. Will you turn to Him today? Christian friend, would you get right with God today? I read about I like to read about history and I'm done. There was a boy one time in a hospital during World War I. And a doctor in London came up to him and he was laying there in this ward and dying. Everybody knew he was dying. The doctor came up to him and as he walked up to him, he could quietly hear the boy's eyes were closed and quietly he could hear, "Oh, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood." And the doctor walked up to him and began to comfort him and said to him, "Son, I'm sure you've had a horrible time on the battlefield. I'm so sorry you saw such horrible things." And the young man opened his eyes and looked in the eyes of the physician, the officer, and said, "Oh, no, sir. No, I'm not talking about the horribleness on the battlefield. I'm talking to you about the blood of Jesus Christ. That's pretty good for somebody who's going through what I'm going through and going to where I'm going to momentarily. It's pretty good to know that the end of the life, blood is in your way. Amen? Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ has washed your sins away. I'm saying to you, beloved, if you don't know Christ tonight, get saved. And dear Christian friend, revival is God's people getting consecrated in their Christian life. Set apart for the things of God. Behold, he said, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. My question is tonight, are you giving your best service for the Lord? Are you giving your best service? Are you cleaning up? Are you doing anything in these days to clean up your act before God? I'm telling you, there's some Christians tonight that need to get rid of their computer habits.
Amen.
Some Christians, I know this is difficult. There's some Christians tonight that need to change their reading habits,
yes,
and their listening habits,
yes,
and their talking habits. And that's revival, beloved. I'm telling you, we're going to face Jesus with these things. I know we're not going to face with a sin, but as surely as there's going to be rewards given, there's going to be loss of rewards because we didn't do right.
Yes.
And so as a preacher that loves you, I'm asking you tonight to submit yourself to God. And the Bible says that if you love His appearing, you'll live right. When Mom went away, and Dad went away, and the house wasn't clean, and there was blood splattered on the walls, and the cat was dead. Remember the story? And they're here! Yeah? We weren't happy when they pulled in the driveway. Even if they'd had McDonald's, which they never did. And we weren't happy about it because we knew we were busted. I'm saying to you tonight, every man that hath this hope in him, I love the appearing of Jesus Christ. When was the last time you ever thought that? I'm asking you tonight as your brother, a pastor of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and your friend, fall in love with the appearing of Jesus. Fall in love with it. He could come tonight.
Yeah.
Jesus is coming to earth again. What if it were today? Coming in power and love to reign. What if it were today? Come on. Coming to claim His chosen bride. All the redeemed and purified. Over this whole earth scattered wide. What if it were today? Sing it now. Glory, glory, joy to my heart 'twill bring. Glory, glory, when we shall crown Him King. Man, what a day! Glory, glory, haste to prepare the way. Come on, sing it. Glory, glory, Jesus will come
someday.
Help your people now, dear Lord, these prayers.